See if I speed this up a little bit. All right. In Matthew 10, he says, "Do not think I've come to bring peace on earth, but to bring a sword." Right? So he says, don't think these things. So you have a lot of people out there teaching, and this is Matthew 10, 34. You know, they want to say, oh, well, you know, they picture almost like a 60s hippie Messiah, you know? Peace, love, it's all. He said, look, I didn't come to bring peace. Chapter 10 and verse 34. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring a sword. For I came to bring division, man against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are those in his own household. You see what he's talking about here? He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So what he's saying is, you have to love them less by comparison. You cannot love them more than him. He says, you can love your parents, of course, and love your brothers and your sisters. He says, but you must love them less by comparison than you love me. You have to love me more than you love anything and anybody. He says, don't love them. No, he didn't say don't love them. He says, love them less by comparison. Okay? He says, and he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. So then we go on and on. Okay, so again, it's talking about the thoughts. He says, oh, look, don't think that you know why I came. I'm telling you why I came. So don't be surprised when there's divisions in families, divisions in congregations, and all these things. And those happen because of what? You take a position or a stand on how you see Messiah and how you see what he taught and what he wants you to do. And so when you take a stand, it can cause division if somebody else takes a different stand. So it's important. Let's go to, Let's go to Matthew 20. How much more do I have here? Oh boy. Matthew 20 and verse 10. Let's see how we can do. And when the first came out, this is about the parable of the workers coming to work. It says, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but they too received each only a silver piece. And when they received it, they grumbled. You see? Any of you guys going to have that same problem? Oh, I thought this was what I was going to receive. Or I thought, why are you thinking all that stuff? Be happy you're going to receive. But this is one of those problems. We start to jump ahead. We start to think ahead and make assumptions. So they made assumptions what they were going to receive. Well, they were told they were going to receive a silver piece, so why would they assume they're going to get more? If I make a contract with you and say, I'm going to give you one silver piece, and then when you're done, what am I going to give you? One silver piece. Oh, but you give the guys who came at the last minute also one silver piece. Well, that's a contract I made with them. What's the difference that makes to you? I made my contract with you. I keep my contract with you. Oh, that's not fair. Oh, that gets you in a lot of trouble. Don't use that words. You start with that's not fair, you get a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Okay, let's go a little faster here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I quoted this earlier. It says, he who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. And these all came upon them as examples, as they were written as warnings to us, and on whom the end of the ages have come, so that he who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. It says, no trial is overtaking you except as is common to man, and Elohim is trustworthy, who shall not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able, but with the trial shall be made a way of escape, enabling you to bear it. But you have to be thinking, okay, you don't think I do stand. And a lot of people running around there thinking, oh, I know, I've arrived, I'm so smart, you know. And then a lot of you are learning from people like that, and you don't even know that they've only been doing this for 5 minutes. You know, I met some people, came to the congregation a little while back, and I always ask things like, well, how long have you been walking this walk? You know, tell me a little bit about you. And they said, well, we've been doing this for about 3.5 years. I said, oh, 3.5 years, wow. I said, you probably have 3 websites and 2 blogs by now. Because you must be experts. Now, of course, they laughed. They knew I was teasing them. But this is the way it is. So when you're on Facebook and on the internet and on YouTube and you're listening to teachings, why don't you do yourself a favor, a really important favor, and do a little bit of research to find out who's the person talking? What's their background? Have they been doing this more than 5 minutes? Do they really know what they're talking about? Instead of just saying to somebody, oh, I have to change something I'm doing. I just watched this teaching and it changed my life. And then you find out that person doesn't even know what they're doing. They're not trained. They have no background. They've been doing this only for a little while. And now they brought in a mix because they came from a different background with part of that mix. Because we should all know, learning is not the problem. Learning is easy. Unlearning is a big problem. And so know what happens? You get a guy, let's say a guy is a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher or a Pentecostal preacher or whatever he is, right? Or even an Orthodox Jewish preacher, and they come to Messiah. They're going to bring with them, if they still have the microphone just like they used to have, they're going to bring with them their new knowledge, which is very recent, and all of that old stuff too. And they're going to try to make it all fit together. And it doesn't all fit together. Really what they should do is put down the microphone and go sit under somebody's teaching for about 5 years and then maybe pick it up again. But they won't do it. Because they've been doing for 15, 20, 30 years, I've been the preacher, so I'm going to be the preacher. They can't imagine not being the preacher. Well, you have to humble yourself and you have to be willing to go sit under somebody and put down your microphone and to be trained, because otherwise you're going to bring syncretism. You're going to bring a mess. You're going to bring a mess. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, in 1 Corinthians 13, because you're already in 1 Corinthians, I already closed my book, so I have to go back to it. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I did away with childish matters. We have to change our thought processes. We got to stop acting and thinking like children. If we're going to stop acting like children, we have to stop thinking like children. He says, that way we can move forward. You know, I really believe if Paul were to be resurrected today, he would be mortally depressed. Because he'd walk around from congregation to congregation to see nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Still, everybody's sitting there sucking their thumbs, sitting in poopy diapers. And not even realizing they're in poopy diapers. I used to say that they're sucking their thumb wearing diapers. No, they're also wearing, they also have a mess there, and they're not even acknowledging that they have a mess. They have no idea they're sitting in their own stuff. And Paul would sit there going, this is just like I said, I'd like to teach you the meat, but you guys are choking on the milk. It's time to grow up a little bit. You know, it's time to start growing up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We just have a few more things to cover here. Ephesians chapter 2. I know maybe I'm going a little bit long, and I know you're probably getting hungry and stuff, but you know what? I only get to speak to you once. Who knows? I'm going to come back. I'm trying to give you as much as I can. Is that okay? That's okay. I'm just going to try and give you as much as I can. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Go for it. There we go. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority air of the Spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So remember, we were dead in our trespasses when we were walking. Remember we talked about that path? But we're on the wrong path. The path that we were talking about in the prophets. The path that leads to just waste and it's no good. He says, among whom also we once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath and also the rest. So he's saying here, look, we had this thought process. We were thinking like the world, and so we acted like the world. So we need to have a change of mind. Because we were dead in our trespasses, he says, but we need to have a change of the mind as we go through these things. He says, but Elohim, who is rich in compassion because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By favor, you have been saved. Okay? So we need to have this changing of the mind. You have to have this changing of the mind. In Romans 15 and verse 5, we're told to be of the same mind toward one another according to Messiah Yeshua, that with one mind and one mouth you might please Elohim, the Father of our Master Yeshua, Messiah. So be of the same mind. What mind? We have to be of the same mind. Okay, we're told in Deuteronomy, as well as in Matthew, when Yeshua quotes it, that you're to love Yahweh your Elohim with all of your mind. With all of your mind. Philippians 2, we're told to let this mind be in you. Philippians 2, 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua. The problem is a very powerful three-letter word. I know people get nervous about four-letter words. Forget it. The three-letter word is worse than the four-letter word. Let. You see, you have to let. You have complete authority and power to stop everything the Father wants to do with you. You don't have to let. You don't have to let the mind be in you. You don't have to let him mold you. The master potter trying to mold you is clay. You don't have to let him. You can choose not to. You have free will. But he says, let this mind be in you. So you have to. You have to let this mind be in you. Let's continue in, In Isaiah chapter 55, I'm just going to read parts of the verse. In 55, 7 through 9, it says, let the wrong forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Yahweh, who has compassion on him, and to our Elohim, he who pardons much. So you have to forsake your way, and you're doing unrighteously, and deal with getting rid of your unrighteous thoughts. You have to forsake your thoughts, and realize, I'm not so smart, my way doesn't work, I need to have his thoughts and have his ways. Now, in Luke chapter 24, at the end of Luke, he said that when he saw them after his resurrection, he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. You have to let him, you have to ask him, Abba, open up my mind to understand the scriptures. Don't do it on your own strength, on your own might. Ask him to open up your mind to understand the scriptures. Through the Ruach, through the Spirit, we can have our mind opened. But also remember, what did he say the Ruach was going to do? Just like Peter said he was going to do, was going to bring to remembrance, as a reminder, things you should already know. If you don't study the Word, the Ruach has nothing to work with. Because the Ruach is not there to teach you, like from scratch, the Ruach is to teach you what to do with what you're studying and what you're learning. You don't put anything in, the Ruach has nothing to work with. Now, it's not that the Ruach can't do it, the Ruach's not going to do it, because you have to do your part. Put the information in, and then let the Ruach help you understand what to do with it. How to understand it, how to interpret it, how to apply it. Does that make sense? But if you don't do your part, the Ruach is going to sit and wait. Nothing for the Ruach to do, nothing for the Spirit to do. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it says, be transformed, this is in verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to quote a piece. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you prove what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. So you're expected to prove these things. How? Well, you have to renew your mind. Because if you're going to try to figure out what's good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim using your own thoughts, you're going to get it wrong. If you have his mind trying to figure out his mind, you can do it. If you have your mind trying to figure out his mind, it's not going to happen. You're going to mess it up. So he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To go back to Philippians, let this mind be in you, the mind of Yeshua. What was the mind of Yeshua? Yeshua said, everything I do is what the Father told me to do. Everything I say is what the Father told me to say. I don't do anything that he doesn't tell me to do or say. Well, guess what? We have a book filled with things the Father tells you to do and what to say. So that's the mind that should be in you. That everything you do and everything you say should be what the Father told you to do. And don't tell me that, oh, you had a vision or you heard a voice. The Father told me to do this. No. You test it here, in your book, in your scriptures. Because any one of the other two voices that are of the three, the other two voices, remember, your voice, the enemy's voice, that could have been the voice you heard, trying to tell you the Father told you to do something. I had a lady used to say to me all the time at services, she used to come up to me years ago, oh, Father told me to tell you. I said, he has my number, it's okay, he can tell me himself. He knows where to find me. Every week she would come up to me. And this is a woman who was not keeping the commandments. She was not walking things out. She was a complete mess in her life. And I'm thinking, no, Abba wouldn't send you to teach me. He's going to send somebody more righteous, not less righteous, to teach me. Or more importantly, he'll talk to me himself. He'll get my attention and speak to me himself. And so we have to be also careful with trying to go over and speak into people because you think you got a message from the Almighty. Most of the time you didn't. Most of the time it's yourself, or the enemy, or some other thing that you got confused, because it doesn't really work that way. Also, the Father generally sends people to do these things. They're called prophets. And who are the prophets sent to? Nations and kings. So if you're coming to me, I'm not a nation or a king, so why are you coming to me? So if you get a message from the Almighty, it's really that prophets get those things and they bring them to kings, or they give them to nations. As a whole, it's like when Jeremiah spoke to the whole nation, but also he went directly to the king and told the nation needs to repent, the nation needs to do something, or the nation needs to give in to Babylon, the nation needs, whatever it is, right? Let's continue. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 tells you to mind the matters above, not those on the earth. 2 Corinthians 10, it tells us to, let's see. For though, and this is verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in flesh, we do not fight according to flesh. For the weapons we fight, which are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim, for overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings, which is thoughts. We have to overthrow those reasonings and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking into captivity every thought and making it obedient to Messiah. So that really could be the verse we could have started this whole thing with. It's all about taking every thought into captivity and making it obedient to the Messiah. Making it obedient to the Messiah. You know, in 1 Corinthians 8, it says, if anyone thinks that he knows somewhat, he knows not yet what he should know. You think you've arrived. That goes back to thinking you stand lest you fall. That's 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 through 10, but I'm only going to throw like a little piece. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be somebody when he is not, he deceives himself. So we have a lot of problems how we think. It creates a lot of issues for ourselves. Kepha tells us in 1 Peter, he says in chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, he says, therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, you have to gird up that mind, otherwise it leaks all over the place and then anything can go in and anything can come out like a sieve. You have to gird it up and protect it and hold it together. So we need to be careful with that. You know, when it talks about making it obedient to Messiah, I'm going to take you on one last rabbi trail, and then actually I only have one more verse to read and we can wrap it up. One more rabbi trail. Let's understand the fullness of the word, because I think we get messed up on these things. What does Messiah say? Because I want you to understand who and what Messiah is. What does Messiah say in John 14 and chapter 14 and verse 6? He says, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. All right, let's just focus on the second one. I am the truth. And really, in the Greek, there's no the. It really is I am way, I am truth, I am life. Okay, so John 14, 6, he tells you by definition, he is truth. Now, Psalm 119 in verse 142 and 160, you can write that down. Psalm 119, verse 142 and 160 says, the entirety of thy word is truth. And another verse says, the Torah is truth. How many truths are there? There's one truth. Okay, so the word is truth. Yeshua said, I am truth. And then we go to John 1:14. And he says, the word put on flesh. So I just gave you three or four verses in a circular loop, which is Hebraic, to think circularly, that proves that Yeshua Messiah is the walking, talking Torah. Amen. So people, you want to say that to people, they want to say, prove it. Well, I can prove it. John 14, 6, Psalm 119, 142, and 160, and John 1:14. So now you have license, and I'm not telling you to get like one of those, expanded Bibles or amplified, that's it. I'm not telling you to get it amplified, but I want you to amplify it on your own. When you see the word truth, I want you to think of Torah, Yeshua, and truth. When you see the word Yeshua, I want you to think of Torah and truth. When you see the word Torah, I want you to think of truth and Yeshua. So now when we read the verse, it says that we're supposed to make every thought into captivity and make it obedient to the truth. Make it obedient to the Torah. Make it obedient to Messiah. Because now you have a much more full understanding of when you read Messiah, you need to read the word truth and Torah. So you see how much even more clear that becomes? Taking every captivity and making it obedient to the Torah. Obedient to the truth. So hopefully that rabbi trail was useful to you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll finish with this. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll finish with this. Okay, in verse 17. So this I say to you and witness in the Master that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their own mind. Now doesn't that sort of wrap up everything we've been talking about? He's saying, look, don't walk like this anymore. You should no longer, now you can't no longer unless you used to. You can't no longer unless you did. You are to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim, because of ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Now, I want to help a definition. Now, sometimes in groups that talk about things like Jew and Gentile, one and Messiah, these things, let me help you change some of those definitions a little bit, really. Gentile is very simple. It means those outside the camp. So really, you can't be a Gentile believer. There's no such thing. Either you're a believer, that makes you an Israelite, or you're a Gentile. Because the Gentiles have a mindset. Gentiles, in other words, just for the nations. There's the nation of Israel, and there's everybody else. Everybody else is called Gentiles. So we have to now embrace our equalness as being grafted in. Don't think of yourself as a Gentile believer. No, you're a believer. That makes you full citizenship of Israel. You don't have a secondary citizenship or a second-class citizenship. You are a citizen. You're grafted in to the olive tree. You're grafted in. You may be a wild branch where you came from, but you are now fully a part of the olive tree. So I tell people, say, well, I'm a Gentile believer. I say, there's no such thing. You can't be. You're a believer, now you're Israel. It's just the way it's the definition. So when you read this, it says, no longer walk as the other nations walk. See, we get hung up on Gentile as if like, there's like, okay, it's like it's a race or a culture or something. No, it's everybody else is Gentile. And then there's the people in the kingdom or in the nation of Israel. There's the nation of Israel, there's everybody else. So he says, look, he says, don't walk like everybody else. Walk as Israelites walk. What do Israelites have? A covenant. And what does the covenant require? Torah obedience and belief in Messiah. You have a covenant. He says, so you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk or the nations walk as the everybody else's walk, because they walk in the futility of their mind. Why the futility? Because they believe what they're doing is going to get them somewhere and it doesn't get them somewhere. That's futility. Anybody used to walk in the futility thinking you were getting somewhere and you didn't get anywhere? Some of you are still doing it now, right? You still think you're trying to get somewhere and it feels like you're not getting anywhere. It feels futile. You get frustrated. He says, well, the reason that they do, though, is because they have darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that was in them, because of the hardness of their heart. If your heart is hard, he can't teach you. He's got to break that. That's why in Deuteronomy 8:2, I told you that was one of the important verses for me. In Deuteronomy 8:2, it says that he led them through the wilderness to first things first, to humble them. Because he couldn't test them and prove whether it was in their heart to keep the commandments until he humbled them first. The first thing with all of us is that you have to get off the throne of self-sovereignty so he can sit on the throne. Until you're ready to abdicate, you know, death to the king, so long live the king. Until you're ready to get off that self-sovereign throne, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be in the futility of your mind. You're being stubborn. You have to get off the throne so King Yeshua can sit on the throne in your life. But you have to get off that throne. You have to renounce your throne. Continuing, he says, who having become callous, having given themselves up to indecency to work along cleanness with greediness, but you have not learned so Messiah. If indeed you have learned him and were taught by him as truth is in Yeshua. As truth is in Yeshua, he says, that you put off, because you have this truth now, you're going to put off with regard to your former way of life, the old man being corrupted according to the desires of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the renewed man which was created according to Elohim in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. What is the truth? Yeshua, the Torah, right? We have to keep interchanging these things. Therefore, having put off the false, speak the truth, speak the Torah, speak Yeshua, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your rage. It's such a going down, okay, through the rest of this. You see, this whole thing has to do with, we have to stop walking in the futility of our minds. We have to renew our minds, take on the mind of Messiah. Let this mind be in you, so that when we get down to it, we don't want you to be frustrating the Father looking down at you going, what are you thinking? Because he may look at you and wonder that very question as he sees you doing what you're doing. What are you thinking? And sometimes we see our friends do it, or we see our children do it. We look at them, what were you thinking when you did that? Well, but I thought, and then you hear this very rational sort of sounding scheme that didn't work. It blew up in their face. Because it sounded good to them, right? The way that seems right to a man, but you know, it leads to death. It's not even a man to know where to put his own feet. So I want to encourage you that we want to take every thought into captivity. We want to really work on the renewing of our minds. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Father, we want to come before you and acknowledge you as sovereign, as King in our lives. We want to get off our thrones. We want to get off of that seat and allow the space for the King Yeshua to come, the King to sit sovereign in our lives, the King Yeshua, the King Torah, the King Truth, because he is all of that. We want the truth to reign in our lives. We want the Torah to reign in our lives. We want Mashiach to reign in our lives. And Father, we know it begins with our mind and our thinking. And we want to renew our minds. We want to renew the spirit of our mind. And we also know that Yeshua is the spirit of truth. And we want the spirit of the Torah. We want the spirit of Yeshua. And so, Father, help us to let this mind be in us. Help us to let the mind of Yeshua be in us so that we can do what's pleasing in your sight, so that you can look down and smile and delight in your children and say, well done, you good and trustworthy servants, so that you can look down proud of us and not disappointed and not sad, but you can, and so that you're not sorry that you made us, but that you're proud of us and excited for the growth that we're having as we transform and conform into the image of your Son. So, Father, we come to you, we implore you, and we appreciate so much the work you're already doing in us, and we know you will finish that work. And Father, we ask, please help us to transform and conform into the image of the Son so that we can be reaching that door and that then we can come in and enter into the kingdom. So Father, we bless you and we thank you. We praise your holy name in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. B'Shem Yeshua Mashiachinu, we pray. Amen v'amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Steve? I want to thank Steve for coming here today. You have taught us well. You have a mantle. His name is Stephen. I wonder how many times Stephen has been stoned in the past, but he will not be stoned here today.
Amen.
I would like to go and say that Stephen spoke to us. Steve spoke graciously, because if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the very next verse that he didn't speak, it says the thief must stop stealing. Instead, he must earn an honest living and support himself through his own efforts so that he can share with those in need. Kahila, are we here to receive just for ourselves today? Or are we here to receive so that we can share with those that are not here today? And I quickly want to take us to Mark chapter 4. Because if I can, first of all, ask each of us to stand up. I think we've been sitting long enough. Just stretch for a second. But I want you to know that in this room today, there are the four different types of soil that Yeshua talked about. There is those that are like the path. And on the path, the birds are equated to the demons, those that are of the flesh. They will take the word that was spoken here today. There are those that are like the rocky patches. They receive the word, but their soil is shallow. There are those of us here that need to be challenged because we have a shallow life. There are those of us here that the sun will scorch us because we're shallow. And those needs of the world will take what we have learned today and it'll be gone before we even know about it. It might be gone before we leave the building. There are those that have thorns in our lives, that have needs that are so strong that we put ourselves before the needs of the Lord and his people. And then finally, there is the good soil that is rich. I pray that each of us will have that rich soil within us, because it is the rich soil that produces the grain, and the grain produces, once it sprouts, a crop, and the crop then is 30, 60, 100 fold. I thank you for coming all this distance from Tennessee, Steve. I thank you for being here and listening to the message today. And I pray that we will want to get off the throne of our lives and submit to the authority of him who has created us for such a time as this.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Also, just want to quickly mention, I forgot in the introduction, unlike other ministries of people that may come to visit, I have nothing to sell. All of the teachings are free on the internet, so if you want to write down my website, you can. All of the teachings are on YouTube, they're on Podomatic, they're on iTunes, everything's free. And so even this teaching does exist, although he recorded it, Michael recorded it, so we have it, but what are you thinking? But the main website would be the nowisthetime.org, which you put dashes between the words. You put now-is-the-time.org. That's the main website with more stuff on it than my other websites. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that everything is available, it's free. And it comes with customer service. If I say something that makes you go, you can call me. You can email me, you can call me. My phone number is on the website. And listen, it was a very big blessing to be here. I really appreciate it. I came up to do a wedding. I'm doing a wedding tomorrow. And then Michael was contacted, and he was gracious enough to offer me an opportunity to share. He really didn't know me that well, but was willing to give me an opportunity to entrust you with me, that I would, do good and not harm. And so hopefully I did good and no harm. And I really appreciate it. I look forward to fellowshiping with you during the meal. Thank you.